Blog Talk Radio.
Please hang up and try again.
All right, Lala's in, okay, this is Lala, howdy, back from the land of, everybody else has been here Thursday. So far we've got cast and crew in the chat room, Rob DeVore, Bad Backcast, Dino from Georgia Kayak Fishing. We've got some guests in there. I haven't seen anybody announce who they were, so if you want to stay silent, that's fine. Otherwise, let us know where you're from. We've got Bill Howard, the Haywood, with us from Tampa. Mark Landing Crew from Virginia. Miss Lala's in the chat room. And who else just showed up here? 3, 2, 1. Is that D?
Yep.
I got it right today. Yeah, you got your fish cleaned and you got you probably a grilled cheese and tomato soup in hand, right?
No.
Not
enough hours in the day.
See, we would have waited.
I got the fish done. I didn't get to eat.
Would have waited for you.
That's okay.
Okay.
I can't get logged on into the chat room, though.
You're not going to get on the chat room?
I can't get in there. It won't let me.
I don't understand that. I'm going to have to do some checking there.
Hey, I had a lot of trouble getting in, and then just now it just kicked me out. I got some kind of runtime error, and it boozed me out.
What browser are you using, Bill?
Just Internet Explorer.
This Internet Explorer, is that YouTube, D?
No, I got Firefox.
Firefox, that's what I'm using. Okay.
I'm on a Mac.
Yeah, me too. Yay, Mac.
Okay.
Makes life easier. We got a fresh caller in, area code 205. Who's that?
War Eagle.
War Eagle. Oh, my gosh. It's Bart the mechanic.
Oh, it is. What's going on?
Not much, man. Dino's in here with us, too.
Hey, what's up, Dino?
Hey, Dave.
All right. So, welcome aboard, everybody. And guess what? We got a little topic for tonight. It's come up here as a subject with Georgia Kayak Fishing, and I know that it has been a subject before down in Florida, and I think Juan is going to join us here in just a bit from Kayak Fishing PA. But I want to talk about what you guys think about registration of kayaks and canoes. Is that a tough subject? Let me see.
I should leave it how it is.
Got some notes. Registration of non-powered vessels. Okay. And the states currently that, hang on. All right. Currently, there's for non-powered vehicles, non-powered vessels, we have registration required. And I'm just going to pick out the ones that have canoe or kayak. Illinois, Iowa, Michigan, Minnesota, Ohio, Oklahoma, Pennsylvania, and there's some caveats to that one and a couple of the others. Wisconsin, somebody's not happy about that. Okay. These places all require you to register your canoe, non-motorized canoe or kayak. Now, in Georgia, if you're going to run like a trolling motor on your kayak or your canoe, you need to register it. And I believe that's similar.
That's the same thing up here in Virginia.
Is it the same there, Mark?
Yep. As soon as you put a any sort of motor next to the ones hanging off the side of your torso or off the bottom of your torso, you have to register it.
Right. Okay. So we feel that, and I think in this economic time that we've got right now, and states are looking for any kind of source of revenue that they can, that it's probably going to rear its ugly head again. I was looking at the there's a website, the Florida Professional Paddle Sports Association. Are you familiar with them, Dee, Bill?
I've never heard of them.
FPPA.
They right. must not be doing too good of a job if we haven't heard of them.
It says it's Florida Professional Paddle Sports Association, Paddle Florida USA, paddleflausa.com. But they did have now this might have been from, let's see, the last date here, I guess, as of June 10th, there were rumblings. They had the voting commission talking about non-motorized vessel registration. Now, the American Canoe Association, I wish Juan was on here. I don't see him yet. He was having some technical difficulties. But the American Canoe Association has a general statement that talks about that they're generally opposed to the registration of canoes and kayaks. And while they recognize that states have an incentive to register canoes and kayaks and also acknowledge that paddlers do impose some burden on boating administrators, they believe that most legislation and regulatory proposals are excessive because the costs imposed on paddlers would be disproportionate to the services paddlers receive. And then it gives a list of reasons why they oppose registration. And the number one thing, which I thought was kind of humorous, it might be a bit, it's a serious subject, but they said they don't represent the same enforcement burden and cost as the other craft. Because canoes and kayaks are not capable of breaking speed limits. That's the first reason that they put down. So I kind of thought that was a little funny. But it says they don't emit hydrocarbon pollution. They don't require expensive access ramps and larger craft. They said the state should encourage paddling as a non-polluting, healthy mode of transportation. I'm taking this right from the AmericanCanoe.org website. So if anyone listening on the podcast later on or out there right now, but anyways, what's your thoughts? What do you think about kayak registration, paddle sports registration?
What is the actual purpose of it?
The purpose? Just like a regular boat. You would have to register your boat. It would provide revenues to support whatever the...
But that's it.
What?
I mean, it's, when you have a license plate on your car or you have your tag on your boat, what they're doing is they want to say, hey, that's yours, and you're in trouble. What kind of trouble does a kayak or a canoe get into unless it has, let's say, a trolling motor on it, which is when we in Florida have to register our kayaks or canoes. Anything that is motorized has to be registered.
Right.
And you can get in trouble with that because you're supposed to not be able to be, let's say, in the no motor zone, right? You're
right.
Not allowed to have a motor.
Mm-hmm.
So, you got a motor on there and I see your tag number, you're in trouble.
Right.
And that's all I can. I'm being very, stupid about it, but that's the only thing I can see right now.
Okay.
I need another beer.
get another one, D. You're fired up, and you'll be on your bring your soapbox down.
Yeah.
Well, one of the reasons that doing some research and all to kind of look at it was brought up at the board, Georgia Kayak Fishing, to say what's our stance on this, you know, and so I did some research and looking around at some of the reasons they were brought up. Number one, guess who is the number one instigator in saying canoers or kayakers should pay registration fees? I'll give you a couple guesses.
Boaters.
The motorboat industry.
There you go.
Right? So they're like, when you read some of the meetings that are held at the DNRs and stuff like that, when they start talking about registration, they bring it up and they say, look at all these guys out here in these paddle boats, and they're not paying anything to use the water, you know? It's a very similar argument to,
We're paying the same license, so I have to buy the same license as a guy in a boat.
Right.
Fishing license.
Right, for your
boat
fishing
license. And it's the same, and we're doing less harm than the boaters are.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So you're not supporting the development of the boating, the ramp, and you're not supporting.
Well, that's not true, because
Chad money pays for that.
You still have to pay in certain places to use boat launches, and you have to pay in places that don't even have boat launches, but you still want to launch in certain parks.
Right.
Yeah, in Lake Lanier, a lot of places you pay to launch, and it's Corps of Engineers, so it's tax money anyways. It's paying for it.
Right.
Okay.
But I would like to see them keep it. Right now, I don't know about most other states, but I think Georgia and Alabama have a law that says if it's 16 feet or longer, it has to be tagged. I don't know about the trolling motors, though.
Yeah, it is. It's the same. I looked it up, Bart. You're right. It's 16 feet or longer. Anything above 16 feet has to be registered, whether it's motorized or not. And
how do they come up with 16 feet? Why would it be a specific footage, you know? How do they justify that?
As long as it's a paddle boat, why should it make a difference?
Right. I don't know. That's a good question, though, Dee. I don't know where they came up with the length.
Well, I know 16 feet is where the Coast Guard starts. Where all the regulations start with the lights and, safety equipment and things like that.
Yeah,
so it would just be easier for them just to do it like that. Let's go off the Coast Guard.
Right.
That's usually the minimum size for power boats, too, 16 foot. That's about as small as most any of them get.
So if you got,
Other boats too that need to be licensed that I don't understand. Like you've got multiple boats today. I have to laugh at these. I hope nobody has one of these. I don't mean to insult you, but those are those fold-up boats. Those are not 16 feet,
like
and
the
they still have
boat?
To license those. Have you seen these boats? What I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
It looks like a regular rowboat, and it's about 14 to 16 feet long. And they actually fold up, and people in campers like to use them in RVs because they can fold them up and put them away. They're actually a hard-shelled style boat. I don't know what they're made of. I don't go near them. But,
do they have a motor
they
on
have
them?
To register. Yeah.
Then they have to register. It's a motorized vessel.
Right, but it is under 16 feet.
Doesn't matter
so
as long as you
put it on. If it was only 5 feet, it would have to be registered because it has a motor.
Yeah.
I think
as here
long
in
as
Florida,
it has,
yeah.
As long as it has a motor, it has to be registered.
I believe
regardless
you're correct.
Of the length.
So does the Mirage Drive count as a motor?
The Mirage
no,
Drive.
It's still self-propelled.
Yeah,
it's still
it,
a self-propelled
it is.
Boat.
It does say pedal or paddle. Because, you know, they have those little pedal boats that are at, like, some of the resorts, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So nothing has joined us from Oregon. What's up, Isaac? So, if you're just checking in, we're talking about registration of boats of non-powered vessels. It had come up this week in a discussion, and we're talking about registering your kayak. That's a good question. You have to register your yak in Oregon. No electric or
gas.
What
about gas. Sailboats?
What? Well, I got another caller coming in. Area code 727. How are you this evening?
Hey, it's Rob.
Rob, the bad, bad cat.
What's happening?
How much, yes, man? Sir. So you want to get in on this discussion, Rob?
No. Well, you know, I don't know, my opinion, since I'm cheap, I don't think we should register them, but, you know, whatever. You know, there's a lot of deregulation coming up in Florida on every front, and deregulation is usually a bad thing, me think. But that's just me. You know, I don't know. I don't think, well, for what reason would they, do they want to, besides a cash grab, do they want to, you know, make everybody get a license for your kayak?
I believe
well,
that's
pretty here's the reason that Florida used, okay? They cited a big long list of all the times that either the sheriff or Coast Guard had to go out and rescue somebody in a kayak. Of course, they didn't include the number that was twice that number for boaters. But that's the angle that they use, all in order to get the revenue. It's the fastest growing sport in the state, and that was simply their way to grab money. Counties, state, they're all hurting for money. So they're coming up with whatever they can think of to get more cash into their accounts. So somebody slipped them the great idea, hey, let's make all these packers and canoers register their kayaks. And
well, that's kind of the same thing when they said, okay, this year it doesn't matter who you are, but if you're fishing from shore, you have to purchase a shore license. Remember
that?
That? And then they canceled that out this past year. Yeah. I mean, I'm not complaining about it. I think anybody fishing, regardless of where you're at, should have a license. But they took that whole thing away.
Right.
So now it is. Yeah.
Well, which doesn't make any sense. There was probably something more behind it that we'll never know why they repealed that.
Here's something that no one's hit on yet. How many of us have, you know, joined a, you know, an organization, CCA, or any other ones, and said, yes, you know, I am a fisherman, I fish from a kayak, and blah, 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 and we try to get numbers, because that's all anyone wants to see is numbers. You know, how many people are fishing? How many people are doing this? Hence why, you know, we have the saltwater registry now that everyone has to pay for. It's the numbers game. So... the boating companies are losing people to kayaks. You look at it every day. Someone's selling a boat because they want a kayak, right? If we had something, let's say, you know, we wanted to improve a ramp or just, you know, basic numbers. You know, we have, you know, 3,000 kayakers supporting this cause. There you go, right? And they go, okay, you know. You have a bunch of names here, but I don't see anything, you know, if they kayak. You know, this is the politician saying that.
Well, we're sitting there with our thumbs up our butts going, well, we do. We got to take our word on it. And they're not going to take our word. For us to be smart about it, it would almost behoove us to register our kayaks because it would become part of that number population. So that way, when we do want to have something done, we go, listen, it's in the state that there are 8,000 kayakers along the shoreline that fish regularly. So we want this to be done and this to change. And they would have to respect that because it's a solid thing that they can't push away or change.
That's
well,
great,
I have a little bit of twist on that.
That'll
one.
Never happen. I'll give you a fine example. We had a seagrass task force committee here in Tampa Bay. It was made up of commercial fishermen, guides, kayakers, canoers, ex-crabbers, you name it. We gave the county a multi-layered proposal to protect the seagrass. And here we are 4 years later, not one thing's been done. So, you know, yeah, you can say it'd be a good idea to register our kayaks, and it might be, but we won't see anything out of it. We won't see one bit of that money put towards better launches for us. I'll put some pictures on Yak Angler tomorrow. Our local county park put in a kayak launch, and I commend them on one end for doing it because it is covers the the handicap accessible, but there was no thought put into this thing at all, and it was just a huge waste of money. So that's what we're dealing with. If you can, if they can prove to me what they're going to do with our money and use it effectively, then I have no problem registering my kayak. Now, the guy that probably owns 5 or 6 kayaks might have a problem with that because you got to register and pay on all those. So,
bingo.
That in itself is a problem.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Dee.
No. I was going totally different direction, so go ahead if you're talking about that. All right, you're not. My thought is, so however many states are wanting to have all these kayaks registered, how do you know, other than like our tags say SL and then a number, and then somebody else's might say GA for Georgia and then a number, and then someone else comes in and doesn't have anything registered, how is everybody in other states going to know that they have to have a registered kayak? You know, like let's say you're coming down from, I'm just going to throw Alaska because it's the farthest state for me. Alaska kayak's going to come down, they're going to paddle around, and they're going to go, hey, I didn't know I needed to have that registered in Florida. What rule do they have if they don't have to have a registration? What rule do they have to follow if they come to Florida or Georgia or any place that has to have a registration? There's
right.
too much going on, you know?
It'd be like the same thing if they came down here to go fishing. They have to get a boat, or they rented a boat, they still have to have their fishing license. It's no different. Of course,
but
now
if you
go out with a guy,
that,
if you live in one state,
they're covered under his license.
Hang on, guys. Chuck, did you just get on? Area code 321, not D. Hello.
Hey, it's Chuck.
Hey, Chuck. Have you been listening? You know what we're talking about?
I just caught like the tail end of it. I'm not real sure exactly what's going on.
All right, I'll fill you in real quick. We're talking about, it came up this week, registration of of non-motorized vessels. You know, most states, anything over 16 feet, you have to register it, pay your tax on it. And it came up this week that it looks like Georgia may be considering registration of paddle sport type boats. There is something, though, that a lot of people don't know about, but in the Federal Aid in Sport Fish Restoration Act, started in 1950, it's also known, there's another one called the Sport Fishing Excise Tax, and it's about... I think it's about a 10% user tax on equipment for the sport fishing excise tax. And for the federal aid in sport fishing, it's about a 3% tax. And that covers, that one covers fish finders, electric trolling motors, fishing tackle, yachts, pleasure craft, interest on account, and portion of motorboat. Now, the Federal Aid in Sport Fish Restoration Act, that money is collected federally. And for states to receive benefit from that, they have to include a statement in their law prohibiting the diversion of any of those fees, any fishing license fees, for any other purpose other than the administrative of the state fish department. Biggest problem I have right now with Georgia considering this is you guys have the different types of license plates, right, for your vehicles?
Right.
In Georgia... we have, you know, like, I think there's a redfish tag, there's a CCA
wildlife,
tag.
Wildlife tag, yeah.
Yeah, there's a wildlife tag. I had a bobwhite quail restoration tag on my trucks. And this past year, because they're running out of money and everything, it was an extra $20 for the special plate that you paid on top of your registration fee every year. But this year... all that money doesn't go towards bobwhite restoration or wildlife restoration or whatever. Only a small percentage of it goes towards the actual fund, and the rest of it goes into the general fund for the state. That's my biggest problem is I don't have a problem with, like, the Sport Fish Restoration Act or Sport Fishing Excise Tax, where all the money by statute is required to be used in the administration of the fishing and hunting or wildlife improvement. But it's when the little money grubbers come out and say, yeah, we'll give, you know, 2% of it to that. The rest of it goes to the general fund. And, you know, I've got a lot of problems paying that kind of tax. So let's go out on a limb here for a second. Why wouldn't, if you knew that they're considering it, right, if you knew that the possibility exists that these politicians, and you know when a politician is lying, right? When they're moving their lips.
Right on, brother.
Is that why wouldn't you go ahead and find some of these guys and get them to sponsor a bill that says, yeah, we'll go ahead, we'll register our kayak. And I looked through, and some of the states that require it right now, it's not an annual fee. It's like a 3 to 5 year tag that you pay for, okay? And so I'd rather pay a 3 or 5 year fee, and I'd rather make sure that when the bill is written that they write it in and saying, look, we'll support it, but we're only going to support it if it's used for improvement of our sport, not for, highways and things like that, you know.
Well, the problem that we have right now as fishermen, as sportsmen, is that the government doesn't give a rat's ass about us. And numbers doesn't make a difference. It doesn't matter how many people you get together. We'll all say, well, look, there's this many kayakers, there's this many. It doesn't make a difference. We're fighting. We just fought tooth and nail, with lawsuits included, to try and save our bottom fishery here in Central Florida. Because they closed it down. They had a date set to close down bottom fishing for 30 years. Think about that for a second. Closing down a fishery for 30 years. On bad science, and mainly, and I know your name is Tree Hugger, but mainly because of tree huggers, because they don't have a clue what's going on out in our waterways, and all that the government sees when it comes to sports, any kind of sports, golf's included, is money. They all see money, and any time that they can try and get money from you, they're going to try and do it. They've been requiring registration of kayaks in our area for over a year now. If you put a trolling motor on it, you know, you have to have an FL number on your kayak if you put a trolling motor on it. And if you don't, it's like a $75 fee or something, or fine or something like that. And, you know, it's just a matter of time before they were going to tag us. It's the government. It's their way of trying to get money and squeeze blood out of a turnip, you know. It's just the way it is.
Come off of that, look at what happened recently in California with the Marine Life Protection Act areas. They are so strict out there that they even catch you floating by accident, you know, drifting into there. They take the kayak, they take the rods, they take everything. It's like you just had a major violation. You know, in areas that I remember when I lived in San Diego, in bays, you know, where the fishing was great. It was a great place to take your family and everything else, but you can't fish there anymore. You can't even walk the beach in some spots. I mean, it is, you know, those things, any sort of closure or anything else is, in my mind, illegal. And actually it is. There's a whole other thing that goes along with that, but, you know, part of what Treehard was talking about. But, you know, if you look at it, it's the open ocean, it's everything else. Numbers, you know, everyone says numbers don't count. Well, eventually they do, you know, and we need to really watch what happens in the back alleys, because, you know, in the back rooms, because, you know, if we're not careful, we might lose a lot of our fishing privileges.
Well, we're on our way to do that right now. And the problem that us sportsmen are facing right now is not that the government wants to protect the red snapper, or the government wants to protect the seagrass, or the government gives a flying flip about manatees. It is just that. It is the tree huggers. It is Pew, the organization Pew. It's PETA. It's all those people. And we can't, number-wise, you cannot fight what they have as far as financial backing. And if you can't fight what they have as far as financial backing, you can't win. You know, you can't win. And so, like, for instance, right now, my business, the tackle industry, I run a tackle shop in Port Canaveral. My problem right now is nobody's going fishing because there's a closure right now on groupers. There's a closure. There's a 30-year closure on red snapper. You can't catch and keep a red snapper off of the East Central Florida area all the way up through, I believe it's Georgia right now. And or I might be mistaken by going through Georgia, but I'm pretty sure it's up through there. And I was fishing 2 weeks ago, and I caught 40 of them, and every one of them is a 15-pound fish. I was catching them on chicken rigs, which 5 years ago you could never catch a 10- or 15-pound red snapper on a chicken rig. But it doesn't matter. They hire scientists to go out and try and do the data. They hire these lobbyists to try and go ahead and come up with some cockamamie scheme of why it's important for them to you know, put unneeded regulations on us as sportsmen. And, like, one of the main problems that I think a lot of us, you know, this would be a good thing to bring up to anybody would be, look, our country's in the worst possible shape that it's been in its history. I mean, there's people literally starving on our streets right now, like literally starving. Families are losing their homes because of bad mortgages. There's no jobs to be had. I mean, when the government cares more about oil than they do about, say, for instance, for me, because it hits home, the Space Center, which is basically, to me, the blood and guts of our country, is who we are. You know, it's part of what made us a great country. When they give more crap about foreign issues than they do about what's going on here, then we're all screwed. You know, and that's what it all comes together. It's all one big circle. You know, it's just, I don't know, man. It's sad. You know, it's kayaking, fishing, hunting, all that kind of thing is the only thing that a lot of us have that keep us halfway sane throughout the day. dealing with the economy and everything else. But I mean, I would pay to register my kayak if I knew that it was going towards, say, a take me fishing fund or I mean, I personally don't care about the manatees, so whatever. But you know, seagrass restoration or whatever. Like Tree Hugger said, if I knew my money was going towards something, and my money was going towards something, not 2% of it was going towards something, then I wouldn't have a problem with it at all. Sorry to go on.
Well, up here in Virginia, to come off of, what we've been saying, for the longest time, there was what's called winter dredging for the female blue crabs. If you all don't know, crabs are a humongous staple of life up here in the Chesapeake Bay region. And during the wintertime, Virginia has had some of the very lenient laws on commercial fishing. And they've had for a very long time. And that's kind of changing. But they would dredge the bottom of the bay where there were no grass because they were doing this in wintertime. They were record lows of these blue claws. You couldn't catch them recreationally if you tried. It was really bad. What was it? 3 or 4 years ago, they outlawed that dredging. This year, because I was working for a crab guy last summer, we were catching 120 bushels a day of crab on a 12-hour soak sometimes. And he couldn't believe it. He had never seen, since his grandfather used to tell him stories about, and this guy is 60 years old. I have his grandfather saying, we used to catch 100 bushels of crab every day in the bay. And now look what we're doing now because we shut it down. Should we shut down some for 30 years? No. Can you still fish for crabs? Yes. You got to use the regular, chicken lines and everything else. And that happened because of good science for once and, a lot of money from the commercial guys that weren't doing that and pushing it towards, things that we need to get done. The next thing that I know Virginia's doing, and we've even got the governor on board, is the, don't take any offense to this, anyone, but the bunker or Manhattan raping that's happening here in the Bay. I actually had a long post written up for Yak Angler and actually deleted it because after reading it a couple times, it was a little too finger-pointy. I didn't want to do that. But, and we're getting the backing now. And that's the whole thing. Like everyone said, money and numbers, if pushed hard enough, can do wondrous things. And someone said PETA, and it reminded me, we actually got a every year in December, right before Christmas, when PETA has this big gala, PETA is stationed in Norfolk, Virginia, and they're right on the Elizabeth River, right where a bunch of, every year stripers run by there, by the thousands. And what we do is we have a sponsored fishing tournament right outside their front door, catching stripers, fishing tournament. And every striper that we catch, you can keep one fillet from each striper, and the other half goes towards a homeless shelter. And, of course, you get the PETA people, you're doing bad, and the radios and TV stations are going, these people are, feeding the homeless. So anything that we can use on them to get our way, to show a cleaner limelight, is mucho needed. And I'm going to stop talking now.
It's an interesting discussion, and a lot of times what I notice is there's some, I don't really think it's apathy, because I think anybody given a chance would actually do something about it. But a lot of people feel very frustrated, and that they feel like there's really nothing they can do because we're such a small aspect of the total population, you know, and they just think, you know, it's big government and they're going to happen and it's going to roll over the top of us. I've seen some of the workings of lobbyists and, you know, been to some different congressional things being with the government. And, you know, all it takes is just, you know, one guy to champion it. And, you know, next thing, then you can get what you want, but you just got to be on top of it and you got to write it. The other part is our country was based on making concessions. You know, if you've read any of the historical things, you know, Ben Franklin was one of the first guys, you know, to know that the only way you're going to get something done is, you know, you scratch my back, I scratch yours, and we'll come to an agreement. So you got to make some concessions, but the bottom line is you got to start out early and, you know, be on top of it. Because if you just sit back, I think that there's a great possibility, you know, that it will roll over the top of you. You're not going to be satisfied with whatever you get. So, but I just thought it was an interesting discussion to have. You know, I take no offense at the tree hugger thing. I've done sustainability. I get asked a lot of times what sustainability is, and I give my definition of it. And really, it's just the basic, you know, utilization of resources such that future generations can still use the resources. That's it. I don't say anything about green or, you know, hugging trees or, you know, preservation, conservation. The bottom line is utilizing resources wisely so that future generations can use them the same. And I think a lot of sport fishermen have got it down. So you don't bother me when you say it's the tree hugger's fault.
I wasn't pointing that towards you.
But anyways, real quick, I don't know if anybody saw the nasty finger that Haywood's been sporting there. But it, if you saw that, it's not hemotoxic necrotizing.
Actually, that finger that was on Facebook was my friend.
Oh, that wasn't yours?
That wasn't mine. My whole finger turned purple.
Well, you got to post a picture of your finger, Bill.
Now you got to read it again. That was that was my buddy's. That was my buddy's finger, but mine. I tried to take a couple pictures. It didn't come out too good. But yeah, it was kind of weird. I was just fishing along, reached in my fanny pack on my milk crate, and pulled out some new lures. And I felt like, hey, you know, my finger wouldn't bend. And I looked at it, and it was real painful, and I looked at it, and it was all swollen and turning blue. So I came back from Jacksonville the other night, and we went to urgent care, and, you know, couldn't find any bite marks or anything like that, like it was a spider. But they shot me up full of antibiotics, so I don't know, it's getting better, but it was, I mean, my whole finger's purple. Kind of weird.
I think you got a case of gonocephalopolis.
Yeah, so, you know, I didn't feel any bites or nothing. You know, I didn't jab. I didn't get pricked by catfish or all I was catching was rat reds, you know, so I'm not one of those. They didn't get me. The hook didn't get me. Just all of a sudden I looked down and it was, so the only thing I can really think of was maybe I did it casting. You know, I casted wrong somehow and the ligament in my finger popped or something. I don't know. It's kind of strange. I didn't mean to change the subject.
On a lighter note, who all is going to this the Jacksonville deal? Anybody still going or anybody backing out or?
Me. I'm going to try to make it there. I'll drive up from Tampa. I don't know if I'll be able to camp or not.
When is that again?
Yeah, I'm going to work on trying to get up there for a day. I don't know that I'll be able to stay either. But I'd like to get up there and at least just hang out, if nothing else.
It's President's Day weekend. All right. So you got everybody all riled up. Dee, did you get another beer?
I did. Didn't you hear it?
Are you ready to give us your opinion now?
About what?
Well, I thought you'd get another beer and contemplate.
Oh, no. It's going to kill me depending on how much money that they want to have you pay to register those kayaks. You know, I got plenty of boats, and it's just annoying, and I can't imagine all the stores that then rent kayaks out that they are then going to have to register their kayaks as well, you know?
I know. I'm thinking about guys like Randy Vining, the river pirate. He's got 16 kayaks in his backyard.
Yeah, it's killer. It's really going to hurt the bigger people. They're just going to be like, what the?
Got a new caller, area code 904. Good evening.
It's almost like I want to take, let's say I registered. My service is, it's me and I don't take more than two other people. Mm-hmm. And if I have to take more than that, then I take my other kayaks out or whatever. I'm ready to take like the serial number and throw it on the next kayak like a magnet on a car. Just pass it around.
A little Velcro, right?
Yeah. Yes, register. What are you talking about? How can you prove that this kayak is not the same as that one? Because all mine, except for my kayak, my personal kayak, they're all the same color.
Right.
Nobody'd know.
They have a whole number stamped in it?
Yeah, but it's so tiny. Nobody's going to look at the hull number.
That's how they're going to register it.
Yeah, FWC will look at it and then they'll end up finding you.
All right, so you blew my thing away. All right.
Sorry.
Okay, now we go back.
tell them to jump out of their boat and go look at my little tiny number that's been etched in by a vibration, one of those etching tools, right?
Rob
well,
asked.
The old ones are etched in. The new ones are
stamped.
They're colored in there.
How many kayaks do you have, Dee?
I have 5.
Okay. Yeah, 5. That would be, like I said, I don't know. I'm kind of torn. I think that if it's going to happen, I'd rather get on early and say, you know, yeah, I'll pay $5 for a kayak registration fee, but it's a year or, you know, it's 5 years or something like that. Or actually, I'd much rather see kind of an area use fee. And that way there you could say, I'm going to fish here or... Because, for instance, when I come to Florida, before I got my lifetime license, I bought a regular – I didn't buy just like a 3-day trip or anything. I bought a whole year. And because I know that money goes back into the fisheries. You know, it goes back into supporting, you know, keeping things going out there. I don't have a problem with that. What I have a problem with is when they divert the money to something other than, you know, my sport. So,
you know, something that's not really off topic that I just thought about, too, that my fellow Floridians might be interested in knowing. The National Park Service is going to start charging you a usage pass, or charging you for a usage pass, excuse me, for the Mosquito Lagoon and the Mariana Wildlife area.
Right, every launch. Doesn't matter where you're going to use it over there, you got to pay.
Yep. And it's silly. It's like $5 for a day or like, I believe it was $15 for the year or something, wasn't it, Dee?
No, it was $60-some dollars for the year. If you were military, then they gave you a discount, but it was $5, something like $5 per car or per person. I know Cars Park is $5 per person. It doesn't matter how many cars you have. And the only way you could get a season pass at Cars Park, which is a Kennedy Air Recreation Area. I don't even remember what it means.
Right.
The only season pass you could get there was if you were military. So
right.
If you're just a regular civilian, forget it. You had to pay every time. It didn't matter what. It doesn't matter when or where. You can't, you know, makes you want to have those, what were those station wagons where you can hide your body underneath where the, Vista Cruisers. Yeah, those. Yeah, when you got into the movie theaters.
Well, they charge a fee on the Chattahoochee River here, but you can get an annual pass, and it's good for like other different parks and things like that. So that would.
And you know what too? Being a new father, I look at it as okay. Well, if you put the money towards the conservation, now we're going to go back. Listen, tree hugger, I'm going to be a tree hugger now. If you go back to being conservation minded, so that my sons will have the fishery that I have right now when they're my age. But I'm cool with paying a usage fee or whatever. But, I mean, they've never charged us ever to use this particular body of water. This is a new thing they've just now come up with. And to think that you have to pay $5 every time you want to launch your kayak, or, as Dee said, 65 to launch and be able to do that all year round, to me is a little ridiculous. For an area that is undeveloped, unmanned, and basically they don't even have enough security or otherwise to man it as it is. They're gonna have people posted in different launch areas and make sure you've got your little pass. You know, it's a pain in the neck. It's just like any of our Florida fishing regulations. Excuse me, I'm having a case of the retard today. Any of our Florida regulations, there's not enough FWC officers to control, let alone enforce all the rules and regulations we have here. And they're just adding, you know, it's almost like insult to injury. Okay, well, we want you to register your kayaks. And boaters, you got to register your boats every year and this, that, and the other. Oh, and by the way, you know that favorite place you like to go and take your families because it's nice and quiet and peaceful and relaxing? Well, we're going to charge you to go there now. You know, it's like, where does it end? That's kind of the thing, but...
It's not an amusement park.
Right, yeah, it's not an amusement park. It's God-given property. It's our property. It's our land. It's
right.
It's the government's property per se, but we are the government, if you want to think about it like that. But listen,
right.
I'm getting depressed during this conversation. I'm going to go drink some beer.
All right, hey, Chuck, you're doing some nice work on those flies, man.
Did you just see my latest picture I just put up?
No, I didn't. I haven't seen it yet.
I just put another picture up on Facebook. I've got a serious case of that. I should probably stop sometime soon.
It's a 12-step program that you get into. It gets you away from it, man.
My program's going to be like 40 steps, unfortunately.
Well, they're looking good.
I do appreciate that very much. Thank you.
Yeah, looking good. So, all right, well, we're just running up on our hour here, and I think it's a good discussion. I think it's good that you think about it before it actually happens and you get blindsided by something. But whatever happens, you know, you got to go with what you feel. Let's see, who's it is so stinking cold here. I don't know if anybody's fishing. Is Bart, you still on here?
Yeah, I'm still here. Yeah,
so
I want to say
fishing?
That I actually, I went fishing one night. I went fishing Tuesday night. It was cold and went. Didn't catch anything. I got one hit, but I didn't connect with it.
Right? Man.
But, I wanted to say that I think that the Coast Guard has it right. They should keep it with 16 feet or with something with a motor. I don't think they should... I don't think they should try to do the kayaks, because where are they going to stop at? You have to register a pool noodle to go float on it?
Yeah. Actually, there are some states where if you have a, you know, if you go like floating down the river on a tube or something, you have to register the tube.
Yeah, I think it's.
What?
Yeah, I think it's Ohio. You have to register any kind of pool toy.
When you want to go tubing, they make you put a registration on your inner tube.
Yeah.
That's Kansas,
You're
too.
You're kidding me.
Who said Kansas?
I didn't. Kansas, if anything is over $150, you have to pay a tax on it.
Right. Go with the cheap inner tube, right?
Yeah.
Wow.
Car tire.
All right. Let's see, who else we got here tonight? All right, well, Mark, did you get a chance to go fishing, or you just been getting stoked up to start the Yak Angler TV program?
That's still a secret, bud. I've been working on plastic baits. I just finished designing. With a couple more tweaks, it should be done. The shrimp and shrimp, you can see the link right there. It's meant to be fished on a jig head, you know, very, very light jig head. It's a very soft plastic, and it is also meant to be run backwards. There's a large paddle tail, so that way when you reel it in with the hook coming in the back and coming out through the head, the tail flips underneath itself and kind of flips in real wide movement, so it actually looks like the fish is, you know, snapping its tail, or the shrimp is snapping its tail. I'm not allowed back at my neighbor's pool now because I left some fishing line there last time, so I can't really see how this newer design will work, but the first one I was very loud at the middle of the night while using this. So I've been pouring them. I've got a paddle tail bait, you know, that's meant for a jig head. And a couple of wire baits I'm bringing. I've just been making baits, you know, giggling the whole time because I know they'll catch fish and it'll be good. That's pretty much what I'm going to be doing from now till the trip down to Jacksonville, because everything is frozen. Even the salt water in a couple of our back areas are frozen up now. We haven't had days above 40 degrees in the past 3 weeks, so it sucks.
I'm so ready to move south myself, man. That's cool, and I was listening to Rob's broadcast from last week, and I'm totally stoked at some of the names that you have for your baits there. I think it's a great marketing program there.
Yeah, I came up with one more color since then. It's bad Mexican food. The results from bad Mexican food, and you can ask Rob. It's definitely a brown and funky color.
You owe me a new computer screen with beer all over it.
What's that?
I said you owe me a new computer screen. I just spit my beer all over it.
and that's what I wanted with these baits, is for you to, you know, because everyone walks by, you know, walks through the aisles of like Bass Pro, and there's, you know, 3,000 baits out there, and they all look the same, and they've all got the same packaging, you know, buy my bait, you know, because it says this, whatever, you know, I want to find that bait that, you know, well, on the front of the packaging, you know, has, you know, like a rat fink almost, but it's a big old fish, you know, and or he's, you know, sitting over top of the toilet bowl and blow it out. You know, that's, you know, that'll make me stop and look. And that's the key. If you can get someone to stop and look, they'll buy it. Rob came up with Duval Street, the spot in between down the Keys. It's, what color was that? It was like a light blue almost. Oh, the other one that he came, it was a light blue with like a firecracker. It was a very cool looking color, like a 4th of July, but I didn't like the 4th of July name because it's generic. We came up with the Every Man's Worst Appointment, that the Dirty Rubber Glove. And it's actually a white bait with and I'm being dead serious. It's a white bait with streaks of red, you know, deep dark red, and then the head, it's actually going to be a paddle tail. The head of the paddle tail is like deep doo-doo brown. You know, it's the worst. It is the worst appointment you could have.
Good God.
All right.
And again, I probably owe someone another TV screen because they just probably spit beer and you know, stuff out of their nose. But that, and that's, you know, I can hear someone
laughing. I'll kill you,
I'll kill
you in my
breathe.
Thought.
You know, and I'm loving this you know, design where I'll take a bunch of clothes, put them together, and go, woohoo, that's some awesome stuff. Now I got to think of a name, and I'll sit there for half a day thinking about it, and I'll be like, what else can I call it? Oh, dirty newborn diaper, woohoo. You know, anyone who's ever had a kid or been around a kid who's just been a newborn, you know, when you go to change those first couple of dirty poops, it is some real dark, black, you know, stinky stuff. And, you know, just for instance, that was one of the things that I was thinking of. My wife about spit her dinner across the table just now. Yeah.
I have one question. Are you looking for sponsors? Or I'm looking for sponsors. You want to sponsor me? Holy cow. I am so ready to try these out.
Well, here's the thing. If you come, I'm going to have a bunch of different colors and baits at the Jacksonville thing that I'm going to be giving away for people to try out.
Yeah, I won't make it. I know if I'm guaranteed I got a client. I can't make it. And then I got Chip the next day with the clones, so I can't make it.
Damn it, Trip.
Send some down with Chip.
I will. You know,
yeah.
Maybe we'll just carpool down there to fish with you. We're talking Sunday, right, Dee?
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll bring some down to you.
Oh, that is absolutely great. There's that guy, I forgot, he's like a Spanish guy that made a bunch of lures, and he's got all those hot chick names and stuff on those, and I always laugh at those when I'm at Dick's and other places reading them, like hot tamale and salsas and really dirty dancing. I don't know what they are, but I laugh at those. Those are great. Good job.
Yeah, and I used to have I got to see if I can find them. They're in one of my tackle boxes downstairs, but I had a couple of lizards, big purple lizards, and one was male and one was female, and they were anatomically correct. So,
I have another one, and this is a bass bait that I've been working on trying to perfect, and D, don't take any offense, it's called the hairy beaver. And it's
that's awesome.
It's a beaver bait. And if you ever looked at them, you'd be like, oh, that kind of looks like a, you know, a beaver. But
right.
Mine, it's the same oval shape. Instead of horizontal, it's got vertical, you know, striations. And then the bait actually has deer hair molded into it on the edges.
Oh,
and the tail is actually a deep brown color. And I'm being dead serious. It's one of the ones that I'm, you know, trying to get out as soon as possible, but it's very difficult to mold. You know, it takes a lot of time, which is the only downfall of it. And,
I used to do a lot of fresh water, and I'll tell you, that sounds really good. I would have loved to have used that up in Canada. Wow.
And it's you know, about 4.5-5 inch bait. It's a big bait. That's what I wanted, you know, because it's meant for big fish.
Musky.
I just got to work on the colors because I need to work on the colors and a place to pour it because my wife won't allow me to pour it in the house. Every time she sees it, she's like, oh, my God, and she has to run out. So.
You can come over to my place.
Yeah. Speaking of big fish, did you guys see the picture of the monster trout that Dee was pulling out of the water this week?
Which one?
I like all of the pictures that you took this week, Dee.
And half the problem is Dee doesn't post them to Yak Angler.
She puts them up on Facebook.
You know, if I posted them everywhere, I'd be on the computer for days. No, seriously. You know, I'm trying to be very selective with what I post, too, because there is so much going on. You know, you've got this forum, that forum, and then you got Facebook, and then you've got to write articles, and then you got, you know, call clients, advertising. I'm just going crazy. And then clients. So, yeah, that was Jim. Jim picked up those nice trout, right? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a fly fisherman. He's 73 years old. He's a regular client. He comes down from New Hampshire for 3 months out of the year and is always asking to go out to find the big fish. So I got him on some fish. And we were thrilled, absolutely thrilled. We were on a black drum hunt because of that one black drum that I caught.
Right.
And he's like dying to go find these drum, and the just couldn't find them, you know. And we were just, you know, 1 mile in the wrong direction of where they actually were schooling, unfortunately, one day. And then we were going to go today, but he ended up not being able to go. I ended up going out on my own, but it was a good day for me anyway. But, yeah, those trout are great, but they're no monsters, you know. We have, on this side of Florida, they're way bigger than the other side. So, to me, these aren't considered monsters.
They're gator in my
book. To everybody else, they are.
I said it before, and I'll say it again. Dee is the master of catching those big trout. I shake my head every time she puts pictures up. Cause, I mean, I consider myself a pretty damn good trout fisherman, but she's got it down pat.
Yeah. Well, I ordered.
Well, then
Isaac put a article up, I think, on yakangler.com yesterday, I think it was, that IGFA now has a link, an all-tackle length category for record fish. And what you have to use their measuring device. But so it's kind of lending itself more to catch photo release, and that's what you have to do. You have to take a couple of photos. There he is, Isaac. Yep. I ordered my stick, so I'm gonna bring it down, and all of those fish that you caught, Dee, that drum, certainly that black drum, was certainly a record fish, and all of those categories are open right now. So, if you want a certificate saying that you have record fish in your back pocket, now is the time to do it. Because when I was fishing out of Pensacola, we were grabbing records with snapper, because we figured out how to bring the one guy up there with the chum churn figured out how to do bring them up to the surface so we could catch red snapper on a fly rod, and it was real easy to grab. You know, all you needed was like a 4 pound snapper on a 4 pound tippet, and you had a record. So, but they've got a listing on the IGFA. Site, but you have to use their measuring device to qualify for it. You take a couple of pictures.
And is there a cost to that device?
The device is
it's like $49.
Uh-huh.
$15 shipping. So,
but it costs you that much to submit a normal record, anyways. At least that.
Yeah, exactly. Chuck? Are you an IGFA scale?
No, we don't have an IGFA scale at my shop, but one of the marinas right down the street from me does. And actually, I just had, was it the last year or the year before, one of my really good customers and a very good friend of mine took his daughter out offshore, and she just broke the junior female angler swordfish record. It was like, I think her fish was like 240 pounds or something like that. But yeah, I think it cost them like $60 or $40 at the end of the day to submit that record. So again, six one half dozen the other. I applaud them for doing that. I'm a member of the IGFA. I've been for years. My kids are going to be lifetime members. I'm getting them a lifetime membership as well. That's a great program. And for $49, regardless if you ever use the damn thing, the IGFA can use all of our help because those folks really do stand up for us as fishermen.
Well, I'm so with you. Unfortunately, by Sebastian Inlet, there really isn't an IGFA scale, or if it is actually an IGFA scale, they have not calibrated it,
right.
Which is supposed to be one of their rules. The closest one is in Sebastian River, which is it's about a 2 mile paddle from where I'm at. So if I get a fish and I got to keep it alive and bring it over there, I have to literally paddle completely across the Indian River and through the ICW just to get the damn thing, you know, weighed.
And
on a kayak, that's crazy, you know.
And the
fish you don't have to worry about because 9 times out of 10, they take the fish anyway for analysis due to all these guys cheating with weights at the
all
these tournaments now. They'll open the fish up right there to see if you're throwing lead weights or mercury in the gut.
Right.
Well, the problem, too, that you got to remember, too, D, and you got to be careful is even if you were to catch, and I know it's unrealistic, but let's just say you caught a 60-something-inch redfish. You can't take that fish regardless to go get it weighed because you're legally taking possession of the fish and you get arrested or get fined. So
I know,
you gotta be careful.
And that's the other problem with that stuff, right?
Yeah.
And
so,
see, now...
But no, you know what? Some of those trout that you catch and stuff, D, you should... I don't know if you're a member of the IGFA, but you should definitely get a record book. And, in fact, I'll do a little bit of research because I'll look at my book tonight. But you should really sit down and go through that book and figure out what's available for the lady anglers, because you'd be surprised in the number of true IGFA line class records that you could probably shatter with the size of fish that you catch down there by Sebastian. I mean, Troy Perez that fishes up by me, he's probably one of the better known redfish guides, probably in the history of redfish guiding. The guy has literally put his wife on over 50 IGFA records, and none of them are going to ever get broken. I mean, she's caught like 30-something pound triple tail on 2-pound test. I mean, that just doesn't happen anymore. You know what I'm saying? Or if it does, it's rare.
No.
And most ladies don't try and get records because they just don't know. You know. But I've gone through the book before, and I've even earmarked some stuff that I know, like if I get my wife out on the water with me, I know she can break it, you know, several of these records. But I think that it would be...
Let me ask you this. Do they do, like, out of kayak kind of stuff?
No.
No.
See, there's
no
problem.
They don't have a kayak.
They
don't have a kayak division yet.
Yeah,
well,
that would be something.
Yeah, now
the reason I say that is because I've caught plenty of triple tail, and I've caught plenty on lighter braid, but out of a kayak is something completely different.
Actually, they have the eligible species right now and minimum lengths for all tackle length records for the catch photo release, the new standard. And we're running out of time here, so I'll be quick about it. It's a limited species list right now. It's based on species that they do have data on, and it's on those fish that are that the lengths are. They're based on the top 10%, right? So for a spotted sea trout, I have the data right now. For a spotted sea trout, the minimum length, minimum length for eligible species for spotted sea trout is 50 centimeters. So about a 21, 22-inch sea trout is going to put you in a qualification for a record D.
I killed that 4 times today.
I know. So you're just throwing away all these... And the other good thing about it is the rules for the catch photo release is that if the fish dies while you're getting it, it disqualifies it from record. So
how do they prove that it died or not?
Well, it's, you know, it's big boy rules, big girl rules that you have to, you know, but you got to take a couple of a picture of close up of the nose of the fish, close up of the tail. Isaac put a There's a link on Yak Angler and then at IGFA. But for your black drum, let's see, where's the black drum? Drum black, 67 centimeters, minimum length to qualify. So we're talking about, what is that, about a 30-inch drum?
I killed that on that one.
Yeah, and the bedroom is 72 centimeters. So about a 36-inch red drum is going to put you in qualification for it. And it's all tackle, so no requirement.
Yeah.
You can catch it on a 50-pound leader. You know, it's not like you gotta have a special, you know, test line or anything like that. Send in all that. So it's pretty simple. It's easy. I'll bring the stuff down when we come down. So maybe we'll get a record for the clone. I've always wanted to get him a record. But there's no age and stuff. That's one thing else is there's no, for this, at least I'm looking through the record for it, there's no distinction between male, female, or junior angler.
That's why it's the all-tackle. They call it all-tackle record, and
yeah.
everybody can do it. Because that's like the not in this particular category, but the Wahoo, new world record for Wahoo was broken a few years ago by like a 16-year-old girl. It was just an absolute monster. She caught it in Mexico on a family trip, but I mean, like 170 pounds or something like that. But she holds the all tackle record for Wahoo.
Yep.
16 years old.
All right, folks. So we're kind of out of it. We're running out of time for today. I think we had some good discussion. I appreciate everybody showing up. And somebody just dialing in here. I'll say hello to them. Area code 757. Who's that?
Hey, it's Kai Kevin.
Hey, Kev.
Hello.
You're coming in just as we're ready to sign off. Man.
I know, right where you go. I'm just going to slip this in real quick. You guys are talking about records. Jim Salmon tried to put kind of a all-together kayak record thing on his website, kayakfishingrecords.com. It never really took off, but it was kind of a cool idea, and anybody can check it out.
Yeah, and I'm glad you did make it in because I got to thank you, man. I got a copy of your trip around the bay thing there.
Cool.
I just got that in the mail, so I'm going to take a look at that and do a little write-up there for yakangler.com. Send that in.
But right on, man. I appreciate it.
Appreciate it, man. So,
I just wanted to slip in and say that stuff about records. You guys were talking about IGFA, and IGFA doesn't do a kayak record, but, you know, same as try to put one together, and kind of cool.
Right. Appreciate it, man.
Cool.
Thanks for jumping in.
Hey, Dave.
Dev ought to make it down President's Day to Jacksonville. And then
Is that the thing you guys are doing?
On President's Day weekend, yeah.
Yeah. My truck won't make it down there, man.
Jump on board with the landing crew as he comes by.
Yeah, I'll pick you up. We'll ride. I attempt no. Actually, I'm behind the computer until spring doing the next fishing DVD. So I'm trying my hardest to get that thing out before our red drum season starts up here. And then once that starts, I quit whatever I'm doing.
All right. All right. Well, thanks for jumping in. And this thing's it's going to shut us down here in a couple of minutes. So
yep. Just wanted to slip that in. I'll talk to you guys later.
All right, Kev. Thank you,
brother. Guys.
All right, well, we've really wasted some time tonight, almost a whole hour and a half. And Rob will be on at 11 o'clock with the West Coast slot, the late version, and I believe Chuck is the special guest for tonight. Going to talk about a little bit of tying flies there and doing the buggy whip there. Is that what your plans are, Chuck?
I'm going to talk about whatever Rob wants to talk about.
All right, man. We appreciate everybody showing up tonight, and we'll check it out again next week. And until then, tight lines. Take a kid fishing. Good night, all. Thanks, Steve.
Bye.
Bart. Thanks, everybody. Mark.
Bye.
Yep.
Good night.
Good night, y'all.
Yeah.